The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome back to the program Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network. And back in the studio with us on this Christmas Eve, a good friend of mine, Bob Shetler, is here. Bob, from the Gainesville area, but originally you worked in the churches in Orlando as well. And I think for a while you were even in the Ocala market. So you've been all over the place.
We have Ocala for 5 years, Gainesville for 16 now, Orlando totally 28. So, that covers it.
Man, you're Mr. Shepherd Radio right here. That's what you are.
I've covered the area with you, Mike, but way before you were on the air.
That's right. And you know, this has been, you're one of my first guests, probably one of my first 10 anyway. I'd have to go back and look. But early on in July, starting in the end of July of 2019, that's when we started doing this program. And you were kind to come up to let me kind of use you as a guinea pig as I'm developing this program. And, oh, Bob, I've enjoyed your visits and more than that, your friendship over the years. And it's really great to have you here.
It's good to be here, Mike. And you were kind to let me come on early, and you've allowed me to come on other times. So
many
thank
times.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love it. We're here today specifically, and we're going to get to this in a moment, but just to put this out there, what you're here specifically for is the fact that you are bringing in a most exciting, it's a big performing arts event that's coming to the Phillips Center in Gainesville. But this is something that people will want to drive up from Orlando, from the entire Central Florida region. Max McLean, he is a noted audio expert. Man, this man is a performer with his voice. If there ever was a voice that is sometimes referred to the voice of God, it would be Max McLean in my mind. This guy has done everything. Literally, he's been used to read the Bible on productions for years, and now he is going on a one-man show all across the world, really. It's just amazing, representing C.S. Lewis, one of the most notable authors in the last couple of generations. C.S. Lewis has been known to theologians, but not just theologians, to children across the world through his amazing Chronicles of Narnia, one of the most exciting books that I've ever read. And I took my kids through those and, oh, read them aloud. And it is really one of the greatest literary pieces ever, don't you think?
I agree. And with my children, maybe I wasn't as good, but boy, I got involved with my grandchildren because I have several who are readers. And I thought, this is good material, really good material. And, having studied C.S. Lewis at Oxford for a summer term, that was one of the books we had to read in preparation. So I see it differently today than I did back then.
Well, we're going to be hearing the whole ins and outs of this production that is being brought to you by the Florida Leadership Center. And that's something else that Bob's been working on. I mean, you have not retired at all, my man. You just left when you retired from being the pastor there at First Pres in Gainesville. You've just jumped right into a couple of other wonderful ministries, and this is one of them. How are things going with the Florida Leadership Center?
Mike, thanks for asking. We've had a good start. We started back in July of 2020. So, you know, you
right in the middle of a pandemic year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in that, our board just, we formed a nonprofit to continue to do this type of thing in Gainesville. What can we bring to the Gainesville community in the Christian context? And this is the first approach that we have taken in sort of the theater world with Max coming. But the Leadership Center, from the beginning, I started teaching a class called Foundations in Faith, and it's a 10-week discipleship class, and we did it all by Zoom. And it was amazing because we've had people from Boston, we've had people from Atlanta, we've had people from Tampa join us in the Gainesville group by Zoom, And now I am preparing for the sixth one of these classes in starting in February of 2022. And we're attempting to make this one the first one in person. And Westside Baptist there in Gainesville has been kind enough to offer us a facility room for us to do it. We're going to videotape the teachings this time, and then we'll put them on our website. That's one thing we do. The second thing we do is we have a basics of discipleship, and it's a process of walking young baby Christians through three things. What is your identity? Mm-hmm. What are your practices, and how are you multiplying? And bringing them to be disciples of disciples, because the Florida Leadership Center is engaged to develop and deploy a generation of leaders to reach the world for the glory of God. During this past year, one of our board members was in a conversation with the Young Life directors up in Gainesville and said, we need to mentor some of our mentors. And so we put together a mentoring program for the adult leaders of Young Life in the Gainesville area, who in turn mentored 85 college students, who in turn helped lead the middle school and high school ministries of Young Life. So these are some of the things that we've been privy to do. You know, we had Oz Guinness on a webinar. We had Ruth Haley Barton. And now we're going live for the first time of doing something in person. With the Fellowship of Performing Arts reaching out to us and say, can we bring Max to Gainesville?
Mm-hmm. So, what's your first experience with Max? What was it like?
My first experience with Max was probably what he is known for by a lot of people, and that is the Listener's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, he is the voice of that.
And he has a marvelous voice.
And he is
voice.
The voice.
Yeah.
And that's probably my first experience. Yeah. And I saw him in some other, you know, minor things of other things he's done around C.S. Lewis. But more recently, studying and researching this, I've really been engaged with him. Have not met him personally until he comes to Gainesville. That will be my opportunity.
Well, he is something. I've never met him personally, but watch this man in person, sitting in the crowd at First Baptist, also at Calvary a couple of times for the Ligonier conferences. R.C. Sproul loved Max and would bring Max in, I think, most of the conferences that I attended under RC, Max would have been there.
Well, I have to confession, I haven't been to a Ligonier conference, but RC Sproul was my systematic theology teacher.
Oh, yeah.
At Reformed Seminary in Orlando.
Yeah, and I had him as well for one of those, yeah.
So to me, that was better than the Ligonier Conference because you really got face-to-face and personal with those things.
Yeah, I've just recently had on this week a couple of the different professors from RTS. It's been on the program, and it was really fun to talk, you know, to kind of talk RTS with them because as a student, I was there auditing the classes. Not like you, who you have the real deal, but I was still privileged to be there. And, you know, just the world-class place that RTS is to have access to guys like R.C. Sproul.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a great experience with R.C. I was one of the first students in the Orlando group and had the privilege of studying there. And then I had the privilege to teach there a semester.
Mm-hmm.
I taught Proclamation, which was a fun class to teach. And a lot of that goes back to my good friend, Luther Whitlock, who was president of RTS for years, and just opened the door for me in many ways because of our personal relationship beyond being president of the seminary.
Yeah, I had him up here, and what a treat that was. It's like having one of your, you know, your heroes in life to come up and be on your program with you. That's what I felt like. I thought, this man, I've watched him from afar and been at meetings with him, but now it was like one-on-one with Luther, and that was a real joy. And so Matt, I didn't know you had actually taught at RTS yourself.
I did. They invited me, and I think Luther was the one who was behind that. But, you know, I don't know if you know, Luther grew up in High Springs.
No, I don't remember. I did not remember.
And then he attended First Presbyterian Church of Gainesville when he was a student at UF.
How about that?
So I always liked to invite him back to preach to the, to his college church. And it was fun to see him as he, both he and Mary Lou related to being back, you know, like, you know how it is when you go back to your college, you know, you relate to those things and you remember and reflect.
That's right. Well, Bob, just for those that are in the Orlando area, also served at two churches that I'm aware of, at what is now Church on the Drive, back then College Park Baptist.
Right.
And then you were also over with David Swanson at First Press.
That is correct. That is correct.
Before going to Gainesville.
Right. Yes, sir. We were at College Park for over 18 years, First Press for about six with Howard Eddington, and then David and I were together mm-hmm. for the for his first year at, mm-hmm. at First Press before I went to Gainesville.
That's right. Well, Dr. Eddington had a great influence on this city, and what an impact he's brought for the Lord. And so thankful for him and thankful for my guest. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Bob Shetler. Bob is down today from Gainesville talking about C.S. Lewis coming to UF, and it is going to be marvelous. If you're not familiar with the UF campus, they have a performing arts center called the Phillips Center that is second to none. It's a beautiful, wonderful place for events like concerts or stage events. And this man that we're talking about, Max McLean, who is a true audio voice actor, professional in every way, again, has recorded a number of things like the Bible. He is the voice for a Bible that RC used to use, but he comes and he does dramatic presentations that, again, are second to none in and of themselves. And this idea of playing C.S. Lewis, now, he really had to study C.S. a lot to do what he does, because it's for 80 minutes, he is on stage all by himself, carrying the persona in character of C.S. Lewis.
He does, and he does a beautiful job, not only with the voice, but with that British accent. And it's a monologue of the journey of C.S. Lewis from atheism to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that if not all, 99% of the words that he uses are words that C.S. Lewis wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's finished with this monologue, he takes a Q&A time for about 20 minutes with the audience who have an interest in going deeper into some questions around what Lewis has written and how Max brings it to the stage.
Mm-hmm. He brings it in a marvelous way. And I think one of the truly surprising things for me is watching the different venues that you've shown me where he has already performed, and it's not exactly what you would think of as being a welcoming venue for a program like this, but he's been at Berkeley in California and others as well. This is quite a big deal, don't you think?
I think it is, because he's been to Berkeley, he's been to a lot of the Ivy League schools, and I'm putting this term, that's an away game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not on a home court.
That's right. He's well said.
He's
yeah.
not in a church. He's not in, you know, yeah. it is out there in the middle. And part of the idea here is to reach those students and faculty who are struggling with this concept of God and the reality of a true living God who has created us and who walks with us and who loves us,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to this theory of atheism that's over here. And it's also there because we think it speaks into the theater community of some of them hearing this man who is proven, seasoned, theatrical performer who now brings this Christian perspective.
You know, and that is well done by Max. Just watching the video that is out there, and you can, if you'd like to preview, there are some videos that you can go to YouTube and see exactly what it's like. But that has to just pale in comparison to being able to be there at this. And you guys are making this thing to be, for students at UF, rock solid affordable, right?
That's right. The Fellowship of Performing Arts, which is out of New York City, which Max actually formed for things like this, offers to the UF students at this time, or other students in the community,
mm-hmm.
Who want to come up, maybe from UCF or from other schools, Valencia, whatever. And if you go and you can go and I'll let you give the connection, and you can get a student ticket for $5. as compared to a general public of somewhere between 51 and 101, which is probably pretty standard for a performing arts type of venue. But for $5, we have 500 seats at $5 for students who can go. And Mike, if you'll give that that connection for us.
Absolutely. Well, here it is for the students. Groups at fpatheater.com. Now, theater is spelled the British way, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. So that's groups at fpatheater.com. Now, the general public can also go, and online sales for the general public, if you're not a student or you're not a member of faculty, then you can get tickets at performingarts@ufl.edu. And there's a phone number if you want some more information. That phone number is 352-392-2787. But again, you know, you can't, for $5, you can't hardly go to any restaurant anymore or fast food spot and get your meal for $5, and you're going to see what would be like a Broadway quality presentation right at this beautiful center, the Performing Arts Center of the Phillips Center, in right there in the UF campus, and it's just going to be wonderful. You know, this whole thing about C.S. Lewis, you were talking earlier about how he really went the gamut from being an atheist, not believing in God, to being a God believer. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that process, because he was contemporary with some other fairly well-known people too.
He was, and they were very influential in his life. Tolkien, in a Christian, he said these Christians kept popping up in his life, and you know, so we have to be aware of that in our own witness. Yeah. That, you know, our presence sometimes is the beginning of that opportunity to share the deep gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ. The thing for me with this is the title they've chosen for this. It's called The Most Reluctant Convert.
Mm-hmm.
And he even states somewhere in his writings that he was the most reluctant convert of all of England. And so he saw himself way away from God.
Yeah.
And it was a journey. And that's the other thing we have to remember. We talk about this, is that the C.S. Lewis didn't wake up one day and it was like a Paul experience. But it was this long journey of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Then, in my opinion, he becomes probably the most powerful apologetic writer of our,
no doubt,
of a century, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he brings the truth of the gospel in a way that we understand, that is from someone who pushed against it so hard until the Spirit of God drew him to faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Then he becomes this great voice for God in an area of the world, in academics. You think of Oxford,
mm-hmm.
You think of the theater that we're using now, of this high level of performance and desire to see things done with this great taste. And Max does that, portraying this great person, C.S. Lewis.
He does, and it is going to be something that is going to be worth the drive. If you're from Orlando or Ocala, you won't be sorry. The date, by the way, is Monday, January 24th. And it's going to be at the Phillips Center. And I'll give those in the next segment. I'll give these out again, but I'm going to do it right now. If you're a student, you can go by going to groups at fpatheater.com. Theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.com. We'll be back one more time with our guest today, Bob Shetler. Don't go away. You're listening to Afternoons with Mike. We are back again here with Bob Shetler, Bob from Gainesville, and a longtime friend, and it's always great to have Bob here. We're talking about this big event, and you had the title, that C.S. Lewis event that's coming with Max McLean, a renowned, really voice actor and performer with the most amazing set of pipes in the world. R.C. Sproul used to bring him up for the Ligonier. If any of you have attended one of those, then you would have seen him do one of his voice things That, and it was always acted out, and it would be different characters from the Bible, be it Paul or some other person, that he would act the role out and actually quote a lot of scripture. It was really amazing to watch him do it. He's also been the voice of the Bible. But this guy, the title for this thing is, I believe you said it was the most reluctant convert or something like that. Is that right?
Yes, he quoted this somewhere in one of his writings. He called himself, you know, as we define ourselves, he said, "I am the most reluctant convert in all of England." And so that's the line that they have taken, and they also mm-hmm. use in this to define who he is. The man who, you know, who claimed and hung on to atheism for such a long period of time, and his reluctance to even engage Christianity until he was confronted by friends who were Christians and by the message of Christianity from different angles and different venues in this world-class educational place called Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's there. And so when people say you cannot be in theater and be a Christian, or you can't be a scientist and be a Christian, well, let's go back and look at what happened to C.S. Lewis in his life in mm-hmm. this place where maybe Christianity wasn't proclaimed from the rooftops as much, but it found him. Yeah. Christ found a way for C.S. Lewis, and he was drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit to come to him.
You know, I love the fact that theologically speaking, that happens with us. It's not so much that we find the Lord. I know where there are a lot of songs that's been written about, "I find the Lord," or "I found the Lord." He really not only found us, but he sought us out.
Exactly.
And what one person told me one time, he said, "God ran over me with a steamroller."
That's a good. I like to use the one, you know, because I truly believe that Christ takes the initiative. God took the initiative in the garden to go to Adam and Eve when they mm-hmm. sinned. Christ took the initiative to come to earth to dwell with us, mm-hmm. to be with us. And I like another writer, Francis Thompson, the Hound of Heaven, of how when God comes after us, he gets mm-hmm. that scent, he seeks us out.
Yeah.
And I just love that poetic way that Thompson does that.
I love it. And it's so true. And C.S. Lewis was one of those individuals just like that, would have been ardently against God and the belief, and might have even been like a Scrooge type, "Ha, humbug, that's not real, that can't be there." And then God does a number in his heart. And talk about a transformation. You go from being one that is a proclaimed atheist, not believing in God, to becoming one of the most prolific and effective communicators of the gospel in his day and beyond his day, really, truly, as this is now proof. If it's not enough to have the books that C.S. left behind, but we have now these productions like this one, which is keeping that message, the persona coming from this individual, who I think is beloved. And here's one thing, and I'd like your thoughts on this. I would think, you know, there are a lot of theological writers that I've read before, wonderful authors of great books. You think about contemporary books, or old books like the Dead Guys that I love to read, the Puritan writers like Thomas Watson and all of that. And then you have the newer guys like R.C. or Jerry Bridges, who both have gone on now to the Lord. But you have C.S. Lewis. He was a guy that would write all of that, but have this most unusual extra position of having been, you know, from one who would speak into these places in England and have the respect of a person that wasn't from the theological background. He had both.
Yes, and you know, he was a layman. He wasn't a pastor,
mm-hmm.
so he comes from a perspective that a lot more people can relate to. And he was a literary genius in my mind, is because he did so many different ways of bringing it. Like, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia, here's the story that brings us the concept of God and of heaven. And then over here, he has these lectures that he actually gave, I think, mm-hmm. on British radio, called Mere Christianity, that mm-hmm. they finally put into print. And you can get both of those. You can actually hear him. You can find there are recordings of that, and as well as the book. And he brings about the different segments of some of his journey. He doesn't say, "This is my journey," but he brings those. And I think the other thing we find is He is similar to Paul in one way, and that is that Paul was in opposition to the Church of Jesus Christ, and then with this dramatic conversion became one of the greatest proponents and writers mm-hmm. of Christian literature in the early church that mm-hmm. we have. We call, you know, the letters of Paul in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. C.S. would have the same type of thing, that he was against Christianity, but his conversion was a journey, not that Damascus Road experience. And so I think it's important for us to remember both of those, that when we come to people who need Christ, it's not always dramatic. It sometimes is a journey of time before they come to the realization that Christ is really drawing them yeah. to himself.
I agree. And I think there's one other, to me, this is an amazing feature of his writing, is that he had the ability to convey and communicate these deep thoughts about God, not only to adults and to people that were college trained, but he could simultaneously, I'm not talking about different works, simultaneously reach the hearts of young people. And you talk about having a breadth of audience. He could talk through the Chronicles to the smallest of children who were drawn in. I mean, let's face it, how many college professors would you think you'd find them talking about Mr. Beaver? I mean, that's kind of funny to think about. Yeah. But how many times has that conversation between Lucy and Mr. Beaver been brought up in seminaries?
Yes.
It's
yes.
just amazing.
Well, I just think is, you know, just the different genres within literature that he wrote within. I think that's one way to explain mm-hmm. it. Children's literature, like you're saying, children's literature, and then over here to the academic world of challenging the brightest minds in the world mm-hmm. to the reason why and how he came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm. Well, give us, if you will, Bob, I know you've seen a lot of this production already on video. I don't, have you seen it live yet?
I have not.
So you've seen it on video. Give us a little bit of a kind of a teaser, if you will, as to what people can expect when they go.
I think you will find that Max he portrays C.S. Lewis, mm-hmm. and he just takes on that person, that persona, and he does that through, I think, internalizing the words that C.S. wrote. And as he begins to bring them, he brings them with this authority, with this passion, and with just this beautiful dialogue, which is a monologue about mm-hmm. the life of C.S. Lewis. He uses the quotes of C.S. Lewis in a way to just engage you, not just in the theatrical production, but in the mind and the heart, of how you have to process some of this and think through some of this. Mm-hmm. And then engage it with your heart, just as he did when he came to faith in Jesus Christ.
And I think it's not only thoughts about God that he does that with, but more applicable to what a lot of people who are not believers, when they come and when they see C.S. Lewis's thoughts or read his works, it would be how that those thoughts of God apply to an everyday life, every day in the real world. C.S. Lewis had that ability to convey the Word of God and the truths from the Bible, and to make it something that if a person who's not a believer, he could make the defense for what the Bible talks about to even like a person like what he was. He was an atheist.
Yes, and I think what you'll see in this play is how Max uses these writings of C.S. Lewis, of his journey from atheism to Christianity. It's not all about when he became a Christian and beyond. It was how he got to that point of conversion.
How he worked through the process.
And the things that he dealt with personally. You know, is there a God? You know, mm-hmm. Is there a creator? You know, are there other things that we all hear about in this world today that push back against Christianity? And the things that he walked through, that he dealt with within his own soul to come to the realization, yes, there is a God, there is a Christ, and both of them have great love for me. Therefore, I receive that great love.
Mm-hmm. And this production is, it's really top flight, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
Costume, he's in, you'll have the feeling from watching Max, this is what this guy has. He has the ability to make you feel like you're talking to C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, you think you're there. You see the staging gives you that feeling that, you're in England. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in C.S. Lewis's home, and I have been in his home. And you get some of that same feel. And then Lewis also writes in the area, not with the children, but academically, he writes out of his own struggle with grief, if you study some of his books in that area. Mm-hmm. So he deals with a lot of different areas of life that we deal with today. Whether we're a non-believer or a believer, these are things that we're faced with to come into realization, how do I handle these things?
Right.
And where do I find the real answer and the truth of these things?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people surprised, I think, when they go and they see this. And it will certainly fit that category, like, this was much more than I expected. I think the people that in Berkeley, in California, where he went there and did this performance, there were a lot of people that went, and it was packed out, completely packed out, and full of people who were students at Berkeley. And again, this is not normal fare for them, but they were surprised. I saw the kind of reports from a number of students that watched it, and they were just blown away.
Yeah, they were, I think, surprised is the key word.
Mm-hmm.
That they were thinking one thing, and then they were wonderfully surprised at the professionalism of the presentation, the beautiful way that Max does things. And then I think when that is done correct, then the message is easily proclaimed.
Yes. Now, Max McLean is coming. It is on the 24th of January at the Phillips Center on the UF campus in Gainesville. And it's a beautiful venue. If you've never been there, you'll love it. It's just easy to get in, great nearby parking. And for all the students, if you, friends who are listening today, if you know of a UF student or perhaps a Santa Fe student, or if you're in Orlando, UCF, or Valencia, or in any of the schools in Ocala, this is going to be something that you can take advantage of. Have them contact the student with a student ID. They can contact this email address, groups@fpatheater.com. And theater is spelled in the British way, I guess, to honor C.S. Lewis, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, with those last two letters in that order, groups@fpatheater.com. It's only going to cost that student $5 to buy a ticket to a world-class performance at the Phillips Center. Now, if you're a faculty or staff member, and you have your staff member ID or faculty ID, you can get in for $20 and use that same the address, groups@fpatheater.com. Now, for the general public, online sales are available at this web address, performingarts@ufl.edu. performingarts@ufl.edu. And you can see the range of ticket availabilities. It's a 7:30 p.m. performance on Monday, January 24th at the beautiful Phillips Center on the UF campus. It's going to be a great one. And, you know, we've been together at some of these big events up there in Gainesville. And this one is going to be, I am sure, one that will be for the books. When kids get there, see it, be moved, because Max has that theatrical ability to really step into a role and knock it out of the park.
It's going to be good. I hope we can fill the house, and I hope that God will bring the right people to hear the message they need to hear about Jesus Christ.
Now, you're bringing this in, Bob, and in the minutes that we have remaining here, and with your being here with us today, we so appreciate your coming into the studio today to talk about this. The Florida Leadership Center, this is the first foray into this kind of production that you guys have been able to bring in. I mean, you mentioned these Zoom conferences, and you've got another conference coming up that will be a bit of a hybrid with a streaming as well as live at Westside Baptist, right?
That's correct. We're going to hopefully do most of it live, and that's going to be because we want to just to have that engagement in the community. You know, it's much easier and more fun to teach with people right there instead of you know, the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're approaching that this year to try that for the first time.
Mm-hmm. And the vision for Florida Leadership Center, for people that may not be familiar and didn't hear you the last time, share, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Share a little bit about the vision.
Our vision is to help come along beside the Church of Jesus Christ and college ministries, and not only in Gainesville, but we hope to do it in other cities, develop centers or groups that we can build around to deploy. And after we develop and disciple a group of leaders, to go out and multiply other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that is we think the key leadership is in discipleship. How am I leading as a Christian? How am I discipling as a Christian? How am I multiplying other disciples? We do that through the Foundations of Faith class. We do that through our Basics of Discipleship, and also through things like the C.S. Lewis event in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
Our website is floridaleadershipcenter.org, and if you're interested in looking, we are still developing some of that. We're only about 18 months old, so we're still learning. But we have had a lot of opportunities to share the gospel, not to replace the church, not to replace a college ministry, but become along beside them and to help them to develop leaders and deploy those leaders.
And one of the most exciting things that I love about what you're doing and what this event as well, it really is helping these students and helping the leaders that are joining in. Maybe they're older than the students, but all of it is with this concept of sharing the gospel and becoming better equipped to be a leader in this day and age. Because our leaders today, we need leaders who are going to be evangelistic, who are who understand apologetics, know how to defend the gospel to a world that is becoming really increasingly post-Christian.
Yeah, our Foundations class, I think, helps frame some of our theological foundation for the Florida Leadership Center. Five things. Scripture is the reason that we teach and learn. Spiritual formations to help us grow, evangelism, apologetics, and vocational discipleship. How do I take this into the workplace where I live more than any place else?
That's awesome. Bob Shedler, thank you for being with me today here on the program.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Enjoy being with you.
Here we are for the last segment of my program on this Christmas Eve. And on the line with me, my good friend John Crossman. Been on my show many times, and soon John is going to have his own radio program right here on The Shepherd. I am so excited about that one. Welcome to the program, John Crossman.
Mike, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It is so much fun to check in with you, John, and we'll get to talking about your new program coming up in a moment. Before we do, tell me how things are going on this Christmas Eve. I'm sure you've got some fun things planned with your family.
Oh, sure, sure. We got a lot going on. You know, I think you know this. My wife's birthday is Christmas Day. So we have double celebration.
Oh, yeah.
So
now,
yeah,
is she one of those thing. That has at times, is there any chance that she, when she was growing up, that she would have not liked that, or maybe feeling that it kind of got lost on a big day like Christmas?
For sure. But we, you know, we really try to like take care of that for her nowadays. So what we do is we celebrate Christmas morning, and then we celebrate Christmas till about noon. In the afternoon, we celebrate Angie's birthday.
Oh,
and, you know, Mike,
great.
You are a musical guy. I am not a musical guy, but I can be a musical parody guy. And so I take a lot of, you know, Christmas songs and I change the lyrics to make them about Angie. So I try to sing songs to her about that. So
now, can you give us any lyrical examples?
Okay. So example, like, you know, Mary, did you know? My wife's mother's name is Beulah. And so then I'll say, Beulah, did you know? And then I'll make all the lines about quirky things about my wife's personality, you know, make it very, so we're silly about, you know, just trying to make sure we're honoring, you know, my daughters are honoring their mother and having a fun time on Christmas. So
you know,
trying to make it special.
It is so right? special. You know, when you think about these birthdays that fall on special days like that, that really can be something that does get lost, but it sounds like you found the right solution. And you're
trying to, yeah. trying to, yeah. working
and,
on it.
If, sure. if I were a mean friend, I would have you, I would ask you to sing one of them, but I'm not going to do that. This is radio and I would never want to do that. But, you know, speaking of holidays and birthdays, a fact that is really mind-boggling to me, my wife and I were talking about this. Cindy's grandmother, one of her grandmothers, she's gone to be with the Lord now. And both of my grandfathers, my maternal and my paternal grandfather, shared January 1 as a birth date. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. That is crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever talked
to start the year.
Yeah, it's a great way.
Right?
Yeah, I know it. I can't believe it that both of my, all growing up, my both of my grandfathers had their birthday on January 1. Such a strange thing. That is about all that really needs to be said about that one, I guess. But, hey, this is Christmas Eve, and we are so excited about all that's going on. And just thinking about the thoughts about this particular year, 1 year ago, both my wife and I were home isolated because of COVID, and I am so very grateful that Cindy and I are feeling better and looking forward to spending time with family for this Christmas. Any special plans besides the birth date for you and your family?
We're going to head to Mississippi to see my wife's family in a couple of days, and so that'll be really, really nice just to spend some time there and be with that side of the family. So that's our big thing coming up. And then just, you know, really take some time to rest, have some quiet, and really starting to prepare for the new year.
That's the way to do it. And making sure, because holidays can be kind of frantic times. And, you and I have talked about the issue of people's mental health many times on different programs that we've done over the years. But, this time, this season is perennially a difficult one for many people. As they approach Christmas, there's something about that when everyone is happy that many people who are not, and they can feel kind of lost as they approach this particular time.
You know, and actually, you know, it can be both at the same time, right? You know, and I'll give you two examples. One is one of my neighbors is David Swanson, who, you know, is the senior pastor at First Pres. Great guy.
Oh, yeah, I love that guy.
And great guy. And so yesterday I was walking my dog and we saw him on the front porch and waved hi to him. And then I saw him recently, a few minutes ago, he posted about updating all the times for their Christmas Eve services and all that kind of stuff. And so people are commenting, and I think it's something like five services they're having, whatever it is. So I commented and I just wrote, David, I hope you're taking some time to take care of yourself. You deserve rest and comfort. And I know that being a preacher's kid, the toll Christmas can have on a pastor. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, my dad used to talk about preaching his guts out. You know, when we look at pastors, we don't always connect that when they give a big sermon and there's a lot of energy, it's physically demanding, right?
It is.
And there's just a lot going on. And of course, they get phone calls about high stress situations. And then I think for the average person, you know, you think about, like, if you and I are having a meal together and all of a sudden you taste something that your mother used to make or your grandmother made, right? There's that. Or if a song comes on, I might think, oh man, that was the most popular song my senior in high school. Or if you visually look at something. So when you think about Christmas, we have food and we have sights, we have sounds, we like all of these senses, and all of them can trigger all kinds of memories of families, of broken relationships, of healthy relationships. I mean, listen, my daughters are awesome and, you know, they're my world. And yet sometimes I have sadness because I miss when they were little girls and we had those big Christmases. So unpacking all that, acknowledging that. Oh, and then throw on top of, we all probably are eating too much sugar on top of all that, right?
That has an effect too. It really does.
It does. Or if you're a new parent, I had lunch with a guy the other day, wonderful guy working for a great ministry called Lift Orlando. And he told me he has five kids, and the oldest is 9 and the youngest is 1. And, you know, I'm sure his Christmas morning is awesome and terrible, right? Like, it's all of those things, you know? So I think learning to be gentle with ourselves, give ourselves some space, schedule time, you get our Sabbaths in, right? You know, even though it's busy, make sure we're getting time to rest. And then being gentle with others. You know, Mike, I was just recently, somebody said to me, you know, and he was a Christian guy. He's like, I just get tired of hearing about people's feelings. And he was sort of brushing off the concept of being nice. And I stopped him. I said, you know, God calls us to be kind. God calls us to be patient. God calls us to be gentle. And guess what? He's all those things to me. He's gentle with me. He's patient with me. He's kind to me. And it's important for us to reflect on those things, especially this time of year, and then try to pass that on. And Mike, I'm going to confess this to you. I had a huge whiff in the last 24 hours. Huge whiff. Somebody posted on my Facebook, and I said something very innocent. I mean, I was just like, oh, I was just responding to it. And then, I mean, all heck broke loose, as that can happen sometimes. And I was like, man, I just missed it. But part of what I think I missed was the heightened rawness of the season, right? So it's just really important for us as believers. Like, you and I talk about this, Mike, like when there's a burning building, everyone runs out and the firemen run in, right? And I want to be the kind of person that's trying to run in a lot of situations. And so part of that's being aware of fires, like being aware of woundedness, being aware of hurting, and then trying to know that we have the right tools and equipment to provide gasoline to fire out. Sometimes that's prayer. Sometimes that's the word. Sometimes it's silence. I need to practice that more often, Mike. I need to just be quiet.
Yeah, sometimes it's a very wise thing to just not say something. I think the scripture talks about, you know, where words are many, sin is not absent. And I think along with that, where words are many, there are extra feet to go in one's mouth. That's what happens when we're talking way too much. So these are good things to think about. And we really do.
Yeah, for sure.
We really do need to think about that aspect of Sabbath, the rest that God wants us to have. And in the middle of it all, make sure that it's not just a commercialized holiday, that we're really reminding ourselves of the importance of Scripture and what this real meaning of Christmas is all about. It is about the birth of the greatest story, the greatest news that has ever been, the news of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and making sure that we don't forget that and take time to rest in Him. Oh, we mentioned your new show. It's going to be called The Crossman Conversation. Tell us about what you have in your heart with this new radio program.
Well, first off, Mike, I want you to know that I'm like 51% excited and 49% terrified. So I'm continuing to count on you to hold my hand as we step into this. I am excited about the show. And really what we're trying to do is we're trying to have hard conversations on challenging topics and try to find a place to with resources. And let me just sort of jump out there with this. Like, you know, if I were to say CRT, critical race theory. Man, that's a hot topic. I'm actually not going to talk about that. I mean, somebody may want to talk about it, but that's not the lead thing. What I want to talk is my response to that. And so my response to CRT is CRA. And for me, that stands for collaborative race action, right? So if on the Crossman Conversation, we have guests and we start talking about race, the view I'm looking through it from is to say collaborative. How do we as the Christian body work together in an actionable way based in Scripture to help? Okay. You know, you've heard me say this before many times. We live in a culture that seems to think I tweet, therefore I am, right?
Right.
Like, I'm just going to say something and it has currency. When we look through Scripture, man, our Christian role models, they're doing things. Their lives are full of action and sacrifice. So, you know, we're going to be talking about race. We're going to be talking about historically Black colleges. We're going to talk about suicide. We're going to talk about mental health. We're going to talk about addiction, and all that in the context of trying to help provide the listeners with more resources and ways for understanding. And, you know, another one is sometimes with hard topics, there's a political agenda and people end up talking at each other and not talking in a real listening, honoring back and forth. And we're trying to find that space as well.
Well, you've already recorded, as we have, and is my privilege to be the producer for this show, a pilot that we're working through. And, you know, anytime you do something like this, you want to really work at it. You want to really have your idea and your direction kind of all down in second nature. And John, I have to say, I feel like you walked into the studio with all of that in order. And it was so much fun to watch this happen. It was not hard work for me. It was fun just to sit back and watch this thing develop. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy it. It's going to be a weekend program on Saturdays. And I'm just very excited about seeing this thing come to fruition. I know we've talked about it a while, and we'll make sure that everybody hears plenty of advance notice on when the show will air and the starting date and the times and all. But friends, it's coming, the Crossman Conversation. And John, I've said it many times, I think that you're one of these individuals that not only has a voice, but you know how to use it. And I'm grateful for the way that you do use that voice.
Well, and thank you for that. And I want to say, one of the things I like about our relationship is you do criticize me. Like you, and when you criticize me, I always feel like you're saying it because you care about me. I remember one time you and I had a big conversation, and I'll never get you saying, John, I have fear. And then you expressed what you were concerned about on my position and view, how I was talking about an issue. And I want you to know, I hope you and I hope listeners and partners will continue to do that, because I am stepping in some hard spaces. And, you know, sometimes I could be right, but my tone could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Or maybe my tone's right, what I'm saying is wrong. I do want to make sure that I take a position of submission, you know, of really trying to get different people involved and who are smarter than me. And then we really try to come to places of unity and finding solutions. And, you know, sometimes when people use the word unity, it can imply lowering the bar, right? And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to find truth and health and healing, you know, to point people towards Christ. That's what we're trying to do.
That's exactly right. John Crossman and Crossman Conversation coming to The Shepherd in January. And my friend, we're about out of time. I just wanted to say to you and to all of our listeners, a very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for the times you've been on my program and for our friendship.
Merry Christmas, brother. Thank you.
All right. And friends, we'll catch you next week. You have yourself a wonderful Christmas time together, both tonight and tomorrow. Rest in Him. And we'll see you next week here on The Shepherd.